This coming weekend, we are thinking very much about liberation. Certainly physical liberation in the sense of the island, the bailiwick of Guernsey being liberated on the 75th anniversary of that liberation. And there are some on this island who still remember the anxiety and the difficulties that occupation caused during those long years of the Second World War. The anxiety of seeing one's children, one's family, separated as those who were sent off to a safe place in England or elsewhere. Then the anxiety, too, of not knowing what was going to happen, that space between sending off the refugees and waiting for the German army of occupation. And then when it arrived, what will happen? And as that occupation progressed, the threat of arrest, military law, sadness of some people being sent away to prisoner of war camps, concentration camps, the sadness of the small Jewish community that was sent away from here, the threat of execution. Later on, the hardships of starvation, the hardship of not knowing how long this occupation was going to be. And we forget that side of occupation, the way in which it not just affects us physically, not just in the way it affects us mentally, but the way that it affects us spiritually. Many of the experiences that we have, for better or for worse, are what we may call cathartic. They are, in a sense, things that change us, that make us look at life more differently, and make us look at ourselves in a different way. That terrible time of the Second World War and occupation changed the people of Guernsey. And when that liberation came, they were never going to be quite the same people again. And the same is true about our own spiritual lives. If we allow ourselves to be occupied by the threats and anxieties and the causes of those threats and anxieties and the subtle way in which we can be led down pathways which are never ever going to liberate us, but rather entrap us, then we too need to be changed. And we are changed by our faith in our Saviour Jesus Christ. As Jesus comes to us, he not only comes as a friend, but he comes to liberate us. And he liberates us in an extraordinary way. After the liberation of this bailiwick, people just couldn't do what they wanted. There were, of course, the parties and the celebrations. Of course there were. But nobody could just do what they want. There had to be a systematic control of food and of behaviour so that everybody could share in the sense of freedom. When we come to our spiritual life, we shall be changed very much by the way in which we put aside those things that can control us and replace them with the things which are liberating. And that's the anomaly in Christianity, that it's the commandments, the laws of our faith, which actually lead to that liberation. That's the difficulty. Now, I leave you with the thought that as we're thinking very much about liberation this coming weekend, and as we're thinking very much about the laws that have governed us again this time, but not quite in the same dreadful manner as the occupation of this island, but the pandemic. We're never going to be the same again after this experience. And we have a choice. We can go back again to our wild ways, our secular outlook on things, or we can change. And I've been thinking very much about what life was like before in our society, the pandemic happened, and now. And there is a difference. People are beginning to draw upon wonderful virtues of behavior and respect and understanding and sharing, which a secular society had rather blurred before this pandemic took place. Liberation is a wonderful thing. Let us pray that over this coming weekend we may understand a little more deeply what true freedom really means and have the courage to exercise that freedom that the gospel brings. Amen. Let us pray, dear brothers and sisters, for all those who suffer throughout the world as a result of war and injustice. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who are victims of other people's selfishness, for the powerless in this world, for those who still long for a right distribution of the world's wealth. We pray, Father, that you may help us manage this beautiful world by the gift of your Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray for our families and our friends, remembering those who may have walked away from the practice of their faith, that like the road to Emmaus, they may encounter Jesus on that road and walk with him again. Lord, hear us. And Father, we pray for the sick and those who suffer, and we remember all those who work so hard as doctors and nurses, for assistance, for care assistance, for our nursing homes and residential care homes, and for those in the hospice. Father, give them hope in their suffering, and for those who tend the sick, strength to carry out their ministry. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And for ourselves, that we may know the liberating power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ in our lives, that we may turn away from those things that hinder us and strive out boldly, freed from those things that weigh us down. We pray, Father, for those who have died, particularly remembering today Mara Beatrice, a young girl who will be having the funeral service today. This 16-year-old girl, we pray for the Gonzalez family and for all those who mourn. Let us commend ourselves and all God's people, living and departed, to the prayers of Mary, our mother, as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.